The Champions League is back, and so is the Reuters Sports Podcast. We've got all the big names, all the big games, all the big egos. Owen Wyatt.
Would you like to fill me first?
It just seemed natural somehow. Right. Would you like to fill us on Ajax Real Madrid, or Real Madrid Ajax rather, the standout tie of the first round of matches?
Well, that's exactly what I'd like to talk about first. It is great to see Ajax back in the big time, back in the Champions League. Martin Jol's decision to stick around has been vindicated. I think a lot of people, came through a very tough qualifying game against Kiev, I believe, and where a lot of people had them written off. They've got there, they have some momentum, they played well in the league at the weekend. Suarez was on the score sheet. We've seen what he can do at the World Cup. Real Madrid, on the other hand, Mourinho's had a slightly stuttering start. 1-0 win over Osasuna at the weekend, quite unconvincing, and they're away draw at Mallorca. Great tie on paper. I think in reality it's going to be quite a stale game. I go for a score draw in this one.
Really, a score draw? So Real Madrid's Champions League problems to continue despite the arrival of Mourinho as coach?
Absolutely.
Okay, Paul Radford, would you see anything, would you analyse that any differently?
Of course. How could I agree with Owen? I think the interesting thing about the Champions League this year is obviously Mourinho having won it with Inter, moving to Real Madrid, looking for success there. And if you look at what Mourinho did with Inter last year, I think most people would agree they weren't necessarily the best team in the Champions League last year. But it was an incredible piece of management and tactical skill that got them where they are, thanks to Mourinho. And I think if you look at the whole thing, you know, you've got really big name coaches with teams like obviously Chelsea. You've got Ancelotti, you've got Ferguson, you've got Wenger. You know, we've got Benitez now with Inter, Van Gaal. You've got people that have won the big trophies before, and I think it's going to be a lot of interesting tactical battles in the Champions League this year as a whole.
Yes, that's right. Now, thanks for a bit of technical jiggery pokery, we've got Mark Meadows, I hope, on the line from Milan. Mark, are you there?
I am indeed.
Okay, I thought I heard the door slamming in the background there. I thought you might have gone in disgust at those comments about Inter. Now, you obviously witnessed close hand Inter Milan's triumph last year. Two questions, really, I suppose. Do you see Mourinho able to translate that success over to Real Madrid? And also, do Inter Milan have a chance of successfully defending that title?
Well, of course, it took Mourinho 2 years to do it with Inter. And I think he's already really been on record with saying that the fans at the Bernabeu shouldn't expect glory in the Champions League this season. Obviously, they've made quite a few buys, but no amazing ones. So it might take him a bit more time, and have the Bernabeu fans on his back a bit more than the Inter fans are on his back, because the Inter fans didn't expect anything. They haven't won the European Cup since '65. Looking at Inter, it's quite interesting that they've probably got weaker than last year. They've obviously sold Mario Balotelli to Manchester City and not bought anyone. They obviously decided, well, we won a treble last year, we can't get any better, so let's not spend silly money on players that might rock the boat or won't improve.
Let's not forget, though, that this is the manager who won the Champions League with Jimmy Traore in the team.
Actually, he had a very good second half of that final. I don't know if you remember. He was a circumstance of that. Anyway, OK, so we won't hold our breath for Inter to win this again. They're away at Twente in their first game, one of the Champions League debutants. Another newcomer to the Champions League, if not the European Cup, is Tottenham Hotspur. They're in Germany against a good Champions League side, if not great, in Werder Bremen. How do you see Tottenham doing? Neil Maidment?
Well, for Spurs, obviously, it's going to be a huge night for them. But I mean, they've come through a lot of big scare recently. They've lost Jermaine Defoe to injury. They've lost Michael Dawson to injury. Thought they'd lost Luka Modric, but it seems that he hadn't broken his leg as first feared, and he will play. That will be a big boost to them on the night. But they haven't got a fantastic record in Germany. Obviously, we're not sure how they'll fare, but Werder Bremen score a lot of goals. I think it'll be a tough opener for Spurs.
Possibly quite similar teams, I think. Both like to play football, both do score a lot of goals, as you say. I've been to the Weserstadion on many occasions, a very enjoyable place to go as well. Should be one of the good games, I think. Also, looking at the highlights again, you also have Manchester United Rangers being hyped up by the British media, inevitably called the Battle of Britain. Is that going to be an interesting tie, or surely that's just going to be too easy for Manchester United?
It's going to be a walkover.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we won't highlight that.
And also, let's just remind ourselves, right, who saw Ferguson's face as Everton's equaliser went in at the weekend? Right? Those players will have got a broadside like no other, and 4-0 minimum requirement tonight, I'd say.
And Rooney will be back. Let's not forget Rooney didn't play against Everton.
Yes, Rooney will be back, anxious to make a mark, one would have thought. We should also talk about Barcelona. They're at home against Panathinaikos. Barcelona, obviously, among the favourites. Shock defeat, though, in the Liga at the weekend against Hercules. Paul, presumably they'll bounce straight back from that, won't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they will, Kevin. You know, Barcelona are a quality side. They've got, you know, all the Spanish World Cup players. They've got Xavi running the show. They've had a bit of a freak result at the beginning of the season, but that's something they can easily brush off. Panathinaikos are not great travellers. They've got no European pedigree. I think you could expect a fairly comfortable win here for Barca.
Okay, jolly good. And then on the Wednesday, we did talk about Real Madrid, Ajax. We should also say Bayern Munich, last year's beaten finalist against Roma. Paul, you briefly mentioned Louis van Gaal as one of the sort of great modern European coaches. Bayern can't reach the final again, can they, anyone?
Well, who knows? You know, nobody said they were going to win it, not win it, get there last year. And they did remarkably well, actually. They had some amazing fight backs from uncomfortable positions. I thought they looked a quality side in a lot of the Champions League when they got their act together, and they've got, you know, they've got some pretty hot players in Robin and Ribery, and no, I see them as certainly potential semi-finalists. Who knows? Maybe finalists.
How about Roma, Mark? Are Roma worth watching this year?
Yeah, they always pass it around nicely, but they got hammered 5-1 at the weekend by Cagliari. They did have the Disso sent off at the 23 minutes after a bit of a horror tackle. But they've got a lot of financial problems, so they've not managed to strengthen like they would like. Although they did bring Adriano in, amazingly, despite him walking out on Inter saying he had personal problems, and they bring him back to Italy just a year later. He's surprisingly fit, so he might appear. So it'll be quite interesting to see how he links up with Totti.
Okay, and then we've got the two of the London sides in action on Wednesday. We've got Chelsea away to Žilina. One would think that they would waltz through that one. And Arsenal against Braga, Owen.
Champions League often throws up a sort of wild card, doesn't it? We saw Porto win it with Mourinho, and we saw Monaco that year famously get to the final when Morientes scored against Real Madrid after they sort of pushed him out the back door. This year's tip for me for the wild card is Braga, who absolutely outplayed Sevilla on their way into the group stages. Neat, tidy, quick up front, they're ones to watch. I'm not saying they're going to beat Arsenal, I don't think they will, but I think they will get through their group, and the Champions League does chuck up these teams where you think, okay, on paper, not a lot going on. But I tell you what, at the Sanchez-Pizjuan against Sevilla, the fans were just completely stunned. I mean, Seville looked like they had the pedigree to go quite deep in this competition, but no, Braga dumped them out, and I think they're ones to watch. I think they'll get through their group and potentially make the latter stages, quarterfinals at least.
Yes, quite right. And also Braga, absolute quality stadium, hewn out of the rock there on the quarry face up there in that beautiful part of the world.
It's three stands and a rock, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we remember that from Euro 2004. Okay, going back even further in history, the Champions League final this year is in Wembley. Can anyone tell me this is an easy one? When was the last time the Champions League final was held at Wembley Stadium? Oh, God, the all these...
I just motioned
fingers point to Paul.
Everyone was pointing towards Paul, but I did hear Mark Meadows. Mark, when was it? Sorry?
1992, Barcelona 1, Sampdoria 0.
There you go.
Ronald Koeman free kick.
Ronald Koeman, but also who was in that Barcelona team that we should make a note of now? Pep Guardiola was in the starting lineup there, so he couldn't be winning it again at the end of this year, could he? Anyway, we shall see. Thanks very much to Mark Meadows over in Milan, Neil Maidment, Paul Radford and Owen White. This has been our first Champions League podcast. We'll be back perhaps later in the week to see how ridiculous our predictions were. Goodbye.